Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast, your source for astrology wisdom, divinatory practice, and deeper connection to your purpose. With your host, astrologer Jennifer Edwards.
Hello, friends. Happy Venus Day. So happy to have all of you here listening. What a beautiful day we had here in Maine with the sun shining and the bluebird sky. Couldn't have asked for a better day, especially as we approach the vernal equinox, which is right around the corner. And tonight's episode is about all planets direct and the great action that we have left to utilize for the rest of this beautiful period. Over the last few years, we have had the window occur at the same time. This year, we experienced all planets direct happening starting on January 23rd, 2023, and we will officially wrap that period up on April 21st, 2023. So what does that mean? It means that all the planets in the sky, with the exception of the luminaries, the sun and the moon do not retrograde. I think we'd be in a lot of trouble if that happened. But all the planets are direct, which means that they are not, they're all going on their course. They do not appear to be going backwards in the sky. So what does this mean for all of us? So this is a wonderful time to start planting seeds moving forward. Now, last year we experienced Mars retrograde from October 30th until January 15th. And that really took all of us for a loop because Mars is our planet of ego and intentional action. And so we experience Mars retrograde every 2 years. When we had it last year in Gemini, it really broke down communications the way that we were thinking, and there was a great stagnancy, and that happens across the board. The one that happened prior to last year, 2022, the one that happened prior to that was in 2020, in September of 2020 in Aries. And so it retrogrades every 2 years, and when it happens, it slows everything down so you can kind of see what you have created from your course of action and your internal energy, frequency, focus, right? So that's all subconscious. And while we had that retrograde happening from eclipse season, essentially, until after the new year, our calendar new year, on January 15th, it takes about, you know, a couple of weeks. So really, by the time we got into mid-February, Mars was really on its game. It's kind of like a yacht. It's kind of like a yacht going forward, and then you put it in reverse, and when you put it back in drive again, you still have to break the wake. So we have Mars now going at full speed. And as we moved into all planets direct, you know, we were kind of shaky and logy because this had just happened. We're now in prime time for planting seeds for what we want to create for the rest of the year, the rest of the astrological year. The astrological year begins on March 21st, 2023 this year, and we have a stellar new moon that happens at 0 degrees Aries. So right now, in the next 11 days, is the last call to action in this waning moon cycle to fully release what no longer serves you. The moon is currently stationed at 29 degrees Libra. It is in square with Pluto as we speak right now. And then at 6:37, we'll go into a short void and we'll enter Scorpio at 7:06 p.m. tonight. So we're really coming into a weekend where we're going to be accessing things that deep emotional feelings on all spectrums that we really need to release, lay on the table. There's no room for passive aggressiveness over the next 2 weeks. Actually, it's not even 2 weeks. It's about a week and it's 11 days. So I guess a week and change. But when the moon moves into Scorpio and it's waning, you know, Scorpio is a fixed water sign. It's very emotional. It's very passionate. I have a natal Scorpio moon. And it tends to hold on to things from the past and ruminate. It tends to display, it displays emotions that really reflect on your wounding pattern. Scorpio rules the eighth house of the zodiac wheel, which by and large is our psychological closet. So we're looking at sex, death, taxes, taboo. If you want to look at financials, you know, it's financial windfalls, other people's money, inheritances. But the good stuff, you know, the Plutonian good stuff is the psychology behind what you do. It's our dark closets on the inside. It's mediumship because it's death. It's metaphorical death and physical death. When, you know, and once energy is created, it cannot be destroyed. So this is the house of surrender, and it's also the house of vulnerability because this is the house where you find deep intimacy in all ways, whether or not it is the absolute merging of resources with a partner, because it follows the seventh house of serious partnerships and marriages. The eighth house comes after, so we see the merging of resources with a partner in all ways, but also it's being emotionally vulnerable, physically vulnerable, and merging in an emotional, physical, and spiritual way here with another person, without any reservations. So I can only think of one time in my life I have ever been seen that way. And so when we move in this energy, we're kind of looking at why we don't allow ourselves to be seen that way. You know, obviously there's wounding patterns, but it comes from, you know, self-judgment, judgment of ourselves, the worth of ourselves, BS, how we think other people are going to judge us and value our worth. So as we move into this weekend, and I'll leave it at that, as we move into this weekend and you have these deep feelings, which you will, it is important that you are, first of all, feeling them. And second of all, understanding who you really are and where those feelings come from. I call it lily padding. You can, you know, if you feel anger, allow yourself to be angry on your own and obviously discharge the energy. But, you know, once that shifts, if it turns into tears, you know, allow the energy to be felt and leave the body like it's supposed to, so the heart can inform the mind. But also, you know, ask yourself, when was the first time I ever felt like that? And if you can go back as far back as you can, that's fantastic. If it is only last week, that's great too, but go to last week and then lily pad back farther. Okay, well, I felt like this last week. What caused that? And then when was the last time I felt that before that? What caused that? And keep going back and you'll start to understand your own personal psychology around your intention of energy, which means, you know, whatever you focus your energy on grows. So if your intention of energy is baseline fear, then you are going to grow, you're going to grow more of that into your life if you're looking at energy-based things. So we want to look at, you know, how can we get back to baseline? How can we get back to in alignment with source, for lack of a better word, right? So as we move into next week, we continue with the waning moon through all the signs from Scorpio until until we get to Pisces at the end of next weekend. So you want to look at your chart and you're going to be looking, that will be the area of your chart subject matter that you will be releasing in. During All Planets Direct that we have left, when we hit that new moon at 0 degrees Aries, this is going to be the beginning of an era. Shortly after that, we'll have Pluto moving into Aquarius for a short period of time until it goes retrograde in May. And it actually technically moves back into Capricorn on June 17th. So this new energy, which next week's podcast will be about Pluto moving into Aquarius, this new energy is massive. You don't want to bring things with you over that threshold that no longer serve you, especially as we move into eclipse season. The reason for that is eclipse season this year is pretty potent and powerful, as it has been since November 19th, 2021 up until this point. The eclipses were in the axis of Scorpio and Taurus. And regardless of where that is located in your chart, whenever we have eclipses in Scorpio and Taurus, it is very much about making you let go of things that you thought you could never live without. And it also hones in your realization of the value of time. What I mean by that is Scorpio is historically ruled by Mars and modern day ruler Pluto. And so this is the natural ruler of the eighth house. Taurus is ruled by Venus. It's the natural ruler of the second house. The eighth house, like I just spoke about, because the moon is getting ready to move into Scorpio now, the moon, the eighth house is a place of surrender, okay? It is the place where we release, where we die, where we have a rebirth, where we transform. And the only way that we can transform is if we really get naked and look at what we are and realize that we aren't going to be here forever. And that house really looks at the fears at which we cannot control. This is surrender to the fact that that the only thing that we can control is ourselves, ideally. So that idea that the only thing that, you know, all of us are going to die, right? No one is going to escape that. And when we surrender to that knowledge, you know, when we surrender to that fear of that happening, or we have an understanding that that's the natural progression for us here on this planet as sentient beings, that there is a point where we can sort of take control of how we live our lives here. We can sort of look at how we show up in service to ourselves. And what I mean by that is it's not necessarily in service to myself. I am going to hurt a bunch of people. I am going to, it's moving from an understanding that you only have one life to live. And if you're doing it out of duty and obligation, you're not really living much of a life. So it's kind of an expander, and it also changes people's course directions. You know, a lot of times people who are healthy and in the throes of life, they squander their time. They don't really understand the meaning of time, you know. And you can have someone who is diagnosed overnight with a terminal illness, and all of a sudden, that's all they're focused on is time. So you don't understand how you squander things until you realize that the only thing that exists is what's in the present, that, you know, tomorrow is just a concept. So we start to utilize our time in the way that serves our higher selves. And sometimes serving our higher selves is letting go of stagnant energy and things that aren't growing with us, right? That we are in service to, but are not showing up to be in service to us. You often look at things that you're terrified to lose. You know, you can lose all of your money and gain it back, but once you lose your time, that never comes back. The importance of Taurus and Scorpio axis is looking at the things that you commit to and understanding when they have served their purpose. You know, you could look at a 25-year career at something that you are showing up to pay bills for things that you don't even need. And after 25 years, you look back at your life and you realize that this is what you have been doing. A lot of people have made a lot of career changes here. A lot of people have made a lot of relationship shifts. You know, I've seen a lot of couples who have brought children into this world, which was the main purpose of their relationship, and, you know, realize that they've outgrown their relationship, and that's okay. You know, when you get married, you're two different, when you get married, you're of one vibration frequency, or you are at one level. And if one person grows and the other person doesn't, or grows in a different direction, it doesn't make it wrong. But what does make it interesting is how we force ourselves into duty after periods of time, because of the time that we've invested. You know, it's kind of like, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I watched my father work every single day and just, you know, put up with so much stuff. And he finally retired. And I remember talking to him, you know, through my late teens and 20s and, you know, 30s and 40s, about how life doesn't have to be this way. But there's so many different fears that come about change. And that's what the Scorpio Taurus eclipses have brought in. They brought in a lot of change over the last 2 years. And as we come into this spring, we will have the last eclipse in Scorpio on May 5th at 15 degrees. This will be a total lunar eclipse. This is a wake-up call. This is a release of what no longer serves you, but also a letting go, a surrender to your higher self, your higher power, and allow yourself to change and allow the world around you to change into who you really are. It's going to be incredibly intense, as Scorpio full moons are. Scorpio full moons are the biggest manifestation moons of the year. And as a matter of fact, at Mount Kailash, please excuse my pronunciation, I believe it's Mount Kailash in Tibet, they have the annual Scorpio Full Moon Festival, which is at the crown chakra of the earth, which is a place that I would love to visit and meditate sometime. But anyhow, it's a very powerful manifestation eclipse. And so in order to call in what is truly for you, you really have to let go with grace and gratitude the things that we clutch onto that really no longer serve us, which is a scary notion, you know. And this is what Scorpio is about, is walking into your fear of the unknown. Because all that keeps us stationed in stagnancy is the fear of the unknown. And how are you ever going to know if it gets any better than this if you won't let go of what doesn't serve you any longer? So as we move into the eclipse season, that's not the first eclipse. We will actually have our second new moon in Aries on April 20th, which is our first eclipse, and that'll be at 29 degrees. So the new moon at the equinox will be at 20 degrees. The new moon at the equinox will be at 0 degrees, which is profound new beginnings. It's at an Arnetic degree, and we're opening up a doorway of action. As we bring in this new fresh energy of Aries and Libra this year, coinciding with Scorpio and Taurus, we're bringing in the cardinal sign energy. And cardinal sign energy is about initiation and action. Over the last 2 years, we have been dealing with fixed sign energy, which doesn't want to budge. And this is why these eclipses have been so tough, because they've been taking away things that you thought you couldn't live without, or thought you couldn't do, or thought you couldn't surrender to, or showing you the scariest thing ever and allowing you to thrive and rebuild and understand and really understand your mortality and the reason why you're here. And fixed signs need that because they will not change their course out of stubbornness, out of pride. And So we're going to be moving out of this fixed energy that shook us to our core over the last 2 years and really made us reevaluate a lot of things and where we spend our time and where we stay stagnant in fear, and move into this cardinal sign energy, which is about moving in direction, trailblazing, creation. And so Aries being the baby of the zodiac, we're going to have all this free space to go after the things that we thought we never wanted to go after, to take chances that we never thought we wanted to take. If you think about it, it's kind of like someone who's afraid of heights and getting on that roller coaster and being scared shitless the entire time. And then when they get off, they have this adrenaline rush of, you know, the thrill of doing something, right? So that is the Aries energy coming in. Depending on where it lands in your chart, you'll be able to tell, you know, what subject matter is going to be illuminated, what is going to be coming up in your life in terms, but you're going to be seeing a lot of initiative action here. The eclipse on the 20th at 29 degrees, that this is the first solar eclipse of this spring's eclipse season, and this is at the degree of mastery, again, another Arnetic degree. So this is profound. So something is coming to an end, and it is the way that you initiate action. It's almost as if you're going to be able to see your patterning behavior on how you emit energy. Now, Mars rules Aries, and it rules Scorpio as well, but primarily it rules Aries. So we're looking at how we are directing our intention of energy. We're looking at how our ego is involved. If it's broken ego, if we're doing things out of fear, out of validation from the exterior level, or if we are moving with our internal informing, our internal inner child. And it'll become quite apparent because when we have this first new moon on March 21st, the second new moon on April 20th, which is the eclipse, will be followed shortly by Mercury retrograde, which will be on the 21st. So we'll be able to look at what we have created, how we created it in that small period of time, and be able to adjust things. Because, you know, if you are moving and creating in broken ego, what ends up happening is that you end up creating things out of truth. And so these things have to be rectified. So it's just, we're breaking cycles here of how we move and how we get things and how we get what we want and what we really want to begin with. Okay. It's really digging into the true essence of self. And then followed by that is going to be the Scorpio lunar eclipse on May 5th. And then, of course, we'll get into fall, which is when we'll introduce the first solar eclipse in Libra on October 7th, I believe. It's at 16 degrees Libra. And then we'll have the final lunar eclipse in Taurus on October 28th. And we won't see eclipse series in Scorpio Taurus until 2031. So we're coming into a really great time where you're going to want to start initiating projects. This looks like getting your LLC started, if that's something you're doing. Start looking for a new job, getting your resumes out there. If you're looking to get an apartment, this doesn't mean the rest of the year you can't do anything. This is prime time to plant seeds. If you feel like you want to start a business, but you don't know what you want to do, anything that you start doing now is going to create the seeds to manifest later in the year. Everything that's born now, if you were to create an LLC for a business but didn't have a business plan, but you got that out of the way, that LLC's birth chart will have all planets direct. So that's kind of what you want to look at. Or if you're planning a wedding, if you are planning anything in your life, now's the time to really think about what you want to do, start making the phone calls, maybe booking things if you can. Mercury is going to be retrograde this year in Earth signs, so we're really looking at value, worth, where we're calling our attention to. And it's going to be important that when the Mercury retrogrades are happening this year, which will be in Taurus in April through May 5th, I believe. April is Taurus, September is Virgo, and then we get into late December, January for Capricorn. So we really want to make sure that we stay away from those times when we are essentially wanting to create foundational work. You want to just do status quo stuff. Venus will be retrograding this year. As a matter of fact, I have a list of retrograde planets this year. Pluto will retrograde on May 2nd and then turn direct on November 23rd of this year. Saturn will retrograde in Pisces from June 17th to November 3rd. Neptune will retrograde in Pisces from June 30th to December 5th. Venus will retrograde this year. She retrogrades every 16 months. So we'll experience a Venus retrograde this summer in Leo from June 23rd to September 3rd. Uranus will be retrograde in Taurus from August 28th until January 27th. And Jupiter will be retrograde in Taurus on September 4th through December 30th. And finally, Chiron, our wounded healer, will be retrograde from July 15th to December 19th, 2023. So you see, this window is very short because all the planets do retrograde. They course correct. They go internal. When they're going forward, they're external. So this is the time to bring things into action now. And you can still create things throughout the year with the different planets retrograde, but now is the time with the full force energy of everything coming forward. So with that being said, I do want to talk about Taurus energy, because that is going to be where the sun will be when we do have that eclipse in the spring in May. And, you know, this Taurus energy is about values of the ego. So if we look at Venus, which is the ruler of Taurus, Venus is an insular planet. It's one of the inside planets rather than the outer planets. And it operates through ego. So the higher vibration of Venus is Neptune. So Venus at its healed state is, you know, love, beauty. It is worth, it's self-worth, value. What do you find worthy? Prosperity. And as we know that, you know, the prosperity we bring in is a direct reflection of our own self-worth. And Venus operates in a funny way where if it's operating from our wounding pattern, it is operating by seeking worth and validation outside of itself. And so we look at second house values, which is what Taurus owns naturally in the birth wheel, regardless of what you have. That's the baseline energy. We look at the things that we think we need for security or to feel valued or to feel worthy or of worth. You know, this looks like, you know, how many cars do I need in order to feel safe? How big of a house do I need in order to feel safe? How many streaming channels do I actually need in order to feel safe? I mean, that's kind of a weird statement to make, but if we look at why we have to work and why we have to bring money in, it's because we are resigning to have to pay for totems of success and totems of value and worth so we can keep up with the Joneses. So, you know, people will think we're cool. So people will think we're attractive so we can find a mate, when really all of those things mean nothing. And in order to have those things, we have to trade our moments in time and life to do them. So when the eclipses were hitting this axis, people lost their jobs they wouldn't let go of, but jobs they hated to go to. I remember I was a dental assistant for 14 years, and I've held many jobs. I've reinvented myself out of boredom to see what I could do to see what would interest me. I ended up staying at this particular job for about 14 years, and I wouldn't leave because I because I was convinced, or they had convinced me, that I couldn't do better anywhere else, or, you know, I was never going to get paid this amount. I was never going to get taken care of. You know, you're part of the family. And it was probably the most toxic environment I ever worked at, ever. I have a lot of great friends from there and a lot of fun experiences, but by and large, that should have ended, but I would not let go. And, you know, finally, when I did leave there, and I felt secure enough to leave there, I was exhausted, and it took me 4 months of sleeping long periods of time. I was completely out of energy. I was very overweight. You know, I had gained weight to protect myself from the people around me. And subsequently that fall, I ended up getting back into the job market, and a dental job showed up where I had autonomy and I wasn't working my ass off. And the old job, I was there for 14 years. I started at $13.50 in 2004, and I left there in 2019 at $22.75, and I had a schedule that had more patients in it than the doctor, because I had to do everything. I was the person who, you know, if you did a good job there, you got rewarded with more work. You got rewarded with other people's work, you know, the ones that took a lot longer to do things. So to make a really long story short, I walked into this position where I had autonomy. I didn't have people breathing down my neck, no one in my schedule. I loved it. And I walked in there making starting pay more money than I ever made at that office that, you know, quote unquote, I could never do better at. So sometimes when things come to an end, you know, you have an option, you know, do I move in fear and just grab something, or do I actually look at what I want to do? A lot of times with clients, which I might have brought this up last week, but a lot of times with clients, I'll ask them, if it didn't matter where you worked, if everybody made the same amount of money and everybody and no one had power, authority, fame, any of that, everybody was equal. If everybody made the same amount of money and everyone was equal in status, and, you know, if you were a surgeon, you made the same amount of money as a spinach farmer, what would you do? And, you know, how many things would you try to find out what you like? And I want you to think about that, because we get ourselves stuck in these mental prisons of this fear that doesn't even exist, to uphold a life that doesn't even serve us half the time. And that's really about what the Great Awakening is understanding that it doesn't have to be that hard, and it's okay to grow and change, and that your identity is created by your broken ego. And that's all it is, because all we are sentient beings filled with love, and that's what we're here to do. So whatever you mosey on down the path and find your inner child, and you find yourself doing something that you love, rather than devalue it by saying, oh, that's just a hobby, I can't make $60,000 and leave my nursing career, why don't you just do your hobby without the intention of receiving, just the intention of doing it, and see what shows up? Because that's how everything works, about being in that place and getting the next thought, allowing it to arrive, your brain's not involved, or showing up to something that completely lights you up and having an unseen opportunity just show itself. That's how miracles happen. That's how synchronicities happen. And that only happens when you release control, which is fear-based, and you open up your life path to where it's supposed to be. So I am, it looks like it's 6:34. I do have a couple of callers. I will take one caller. Hi there. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast.
Oh, hey, I'm really enjoying your show. I do astrology myself, so I'm following right along and just really, and this is my first time to hear you, so I'm getting a lot out of it. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Where are you calling from?
I am in Florida.
Excellent. I hope you guys are getting good weather. I'm sure it's getting ready to turn the page into some warmer temps.
We've had an unusually warm winter, actually. Well, it's a little bit fickle now, you know, with March. But we had a heat. While the rest of the country was like being frozen, we were affected by the high pressure that brought in the heat and kept the heat in the state. And it was like abnormally high temperatures of 87, which is just not right in February. Not even for Florida.
No. No, it's not. So let me ask you, you know, you study astrology. So tell me, you know, how did Mars retrograde affect you?
Well, I know my chart and I'm not going to go into every, you know, aspect of it. But in my case, I'm a Pisces. I'm a Pisces. My birthday is next week. Actually, it's my sister's birthday today. And I'm the 15th of March. My sister's today, 2 years apart. And so we got a couple of Pisces babies in my family. And in my case, I'm a Cancer rising, 6 degrees.
Oh,
so,
this is in your 12th house. Listen, I am a Cancer rising as well. This has been a shit show. It's been in my 12th house the entire time.
Yeah.
And so it's actually, I don't know if you know this, but it's actually breaking cycles and patterns of how you change your energy, like how you assert yourself that started back, in November of 1990 to February of 1991. So if you went into fawn
states,
state,
what were those states again?
So the retrograde that we had, in from October 30th until January 15th this year, mimicked the retrograde that we had November 1990 to February 1991, and so.
Okay.
What happened back then is that, you know, Mars is our intentional action. So it's the frequency of our action. So if our intention of action is out of fear, right, then back then someone crushed our intention. So we either went into fawn state and we just kind of became placators, or we became right fighters and we wanted to be heard no matter what we were saying. And so this is like a recalibration of where you get your energy intention. And for me, over that whole course of 3 months, you know, from October to January, 4 months, whatever it was, was really understanding where my thought process was and understanding. I would find myself in projects and realize that I grew up in so much noise that didn't belong to me. You know, I learned how to navigate in noise when that was, I don't have to navigate in noise anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like I have control over my environment. I don't have to resign to other environments. That was never my own. So I started to understand psychological patterns of my own. You know, is it still, what's your degree of rising?
Six.
Oh, me too.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm 6 degrees Cancer rising. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, 6 degrees and some, you know, I don't know, 47 or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Right. No, it's 6 degrees.
Right.
No, so what's really cool about that is that, you know, Saturn is going to trine our ascendant.
Saturn is going to do that. I know it's. I've been watching that because the Saturn, it's not quite here yet, But I'm getting really, really uncomfortable because in my case, I remember
the trine's going to be fantastic. The trine to your ascendant
right.
is going to be fine. Your conjunction
right.
is only going to be weird.
Right.
Is the conjunction going to be in your 10th house or your 9th house?
You mean to all the Pisces planets? You're talking about,
how many planets do you have in Pisces?
Three. At the top
well,
of
I'm
the
talking
chart,
mainly. I'm talking mainly about your sun. I'm talking mainly about your sun because it's at the end of Pisces. But
yeah,
what
yeah,
else do you have? Do you have Mercury and Venus?
Yeah, and Venus is at 16 degrees, which is midheaven. Right there on the midheaven is where my Venus and Pisces is. Right there, smack. I mean, literally smack on that midheaven.
Mm. So,
your
10th house.
All three of them are in the 10th house. Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the last
movement was like 93 through 96.
And oh, it's horrible. I remember that I actually looked it up. I don't have the exact date. So I looked it up some time ago because I remember that period of my life. And I wasn't following astrology as closely then as I am now. And I remember when Saturn went through all of that, went in across. It's not just it didn't just go through a whole series of conjuncting all my Pisces, but I also have a Virgo moon and a Jupiter in Virgo, and exact opposition. So setting off the oppositions.
Right.
And I have Saturn in Sag. So I have that grand that square. So for me, it was hell.
Yeah, right.
I remember it so vividly, and I am bracing. It's a little bit away, but it's not going to be good. And that Pluto going into Aquarius is no good for me either. So I'm just kind
well,
of.
Well, listen.
And I'm,
okay. So
you know,
hold on. So I've been teaching astrology for a really long time. So I want to explain something to you that will make you look at this a little bit differently. Okay?
Right.
I swear. Mm-hmm. So when I first got into astrology, I got into it because I wanted to figure things out. It was totally ego-based. It was my brain totally in function. Now that I've been doing it for 30 years and I understand what's going on, no planetary action is to be feared. And as a matter of fact, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune to some extent and Pluto are all ego course correctors. Okay. So basically what it means is if you're fearing Saturn, Saturn's the planet of karma and time. And so what happens is that, you know, when it's approaching, if you're having squares, you know, if you've been, you know, smoking, drinking and womanizing, right? Like, there, you know, and not being a good person and living out of your ego, then that's when we're going to start getting the wake up calls to change us back into who we really are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will tell you, I just had, cause my Venus is in Aquarius. I just had Saturn conjunct my natal Venus in Aquarius in my 8th house. And that happened at the same time that Saturn was squaring Uranus. And Uranus, when we had those big squares, and then Uranus was in opposition to my natal moon and my natal Uranus. So it was a whole shit show for a while there. And so what that taught me was that was the time I had never felt more alone in my entire life. And it made me look at where I wasted time in my relationships to feel validated by people who did not even meet my standards. I put my self-worth in the hands of someone else. And that that conjunction made me realize how valuable time is and how special my love and affection is and how I'm not going to squander that away on people who are not deserving of that. And when I say not deserving of that, I mean people who haven't done the work, people who are wounded, you know, people who are still in their wounded ego and narcissism or emotionally unavailable, whatever it is, you know what I mean, that can't serve themselves. And so once that mm-hmm. happened, everything changed within me. And now I no longer allow people in my life unless they add to my peace. Because if mm-hmm. they take from my peace, I won't mm-hmm. even entertain them. The old me would be like, well, they like mm-hmm. me. At least I'll get attention. You know, let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. The new me, you know, knows that there's a karmic balance. If I'm not interested in someone and I'm giving them attention, I'm going to hurt them. So I'm not going to do that. That's not worth doing that. And I'm going to wait for something. So when Saturn mm-hmm. gets involved, all it's doing is it's course correcting you and it's bringing in karma. So, you know, if you are someone who leads with your heart, if you're someone who, you know, the universe only builds in truth. So, and these ego course correctors destroy untruth so truth can then rebuild again. So, you know, it's all about, you know, being completely transparent and knowing your value and worth, right? So I wouldn't worry about that too much. I'm also looking at Pluto as well. It's been in my eighth house for – my eighth house starts at 19 degrees Capricorn, and it's been in my eighth house for a little while. And, you know, it has really done wonders and transformation in that area of my life. So these aren't things mm-hmm. to be feared, rather to be felt and embraced and understand and rectify things from the past that have driven you to what you have built around you now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does.
Does it make you feel better? Because if you're moving in fear, you're not moving in truth. You understand that, right? You could hide, like technically, I know you won't, but you could hide underneath a rock for the entire transit, and it wouldn't make a difference. You wouldn't get out of it what you needed to get out of it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how old you are, but the whole there's a lot. There's kind of more backstory to all of that, to my concerns. Did you say that when that Saturn conjuncted your Venus, that it was doing something to your natal Uranus? What was that, in an opposition, did you say? What was it that you said?
Well, no, so what was happening was when we had the, so you know how Saturn and Uranus are in a 40-year cycle and they square each other? And they're in their mm-hmm. they were in their final square over 2020
yeah.
through 2022. So
yeah.
I'm 46. And
okay,
so I
okay.
was in the middle when that was going on, my natal Uranus opposed transit Uranus was happening. I have a Scorpio moon.
Oh,
and that happens to all of
that.
Us between 42 and 44. But at that but my natal moon is conjunct Uranus. So
that's,
I was
okay.
getting it from that. And then
okay,
Saturn
got it.
Was squaring just the whole thing. So it was a big blowing
right.
open of,
I see.
You know, being
yeah.
emotionally available for myself
yeah.
and understanding the people that I attract and what my and why, you know. And so
yeah.
it
yeah.
was
yeah.
it was a very healing experience. And I'll be honest with you, when Pluto
yeah.
conjuncts my natal Venus in about
yeah.
10 years, I'm actually really excited for it. And it's in my eighth house. I am looking forward to that because I want to see what's going to happen. Because Pluto, transit Pluto has gone over my natal Uranus, my natal moon. It has gone over my natal Mars, my natal Neptune, and my natal Sun, and my natal Mercury. So I have gone through many Pluto death and rebirth, and in its life,
yeah.
you know, to shed
yeah.
the old skin and come through, you know what I mean?
Yeah, now Pluto is staying in, I don't have the ephemeris in front of me, but I don't know how long, you know, because of the retro, it just makes it so darn slow, how long it's going to be hanging out in Aquarius. Do you happen to know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's going to be in Aquarius from March 23rd until
right.
about June 2nd.
Yep.
And it retrograde from May 2nd until June 7th. Well, there's some. So it starts retrograding
on
May
2nd. How long is Pluto remaining in Aquarius?
Only a few months. Oh, the whole transit, 20 years. But that begins next year.
That was the question. Oh, I see what you were referring to. No, I didn't mean the retrograde. I meant the whole cycle of Pluto and Aquarius.
The whole cycle
years.
Of Pluto moving into Aquarius
starts
next year, and then it goes for 20 years. So it'll be until 2044. Yeah.
So I won't live to see my Pluto probably get into Pisces. I probably won't live to see it.
How
or if
old
I
are
do,
you?
I'm
going to
be 66. I'm going to be 66 in March. I'm March 15th.
You could live to be 86. My God, what are you doing?
All we have is today.
Don't worry about that.
No, but even then, it won't go over my Venus because my Venus is deep into Pisces, so I won't live for that anyway. So I won't see
But you will live for Pisces. Saturn going over all of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, you know.
Yeah, I will.
Regardless if it's likely or not, don't give yourself an expiration date today, okay?
No.
Well, listen, it was lovely talking to you. I hope you have
you
a great
too.
Night, and I hope you come back and visit us soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Hi there. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast.
Oh, hey, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. It's Jay from Canada. Just listening to the conversation, so this is really interesting.
How are you? Where are you calling us from Canada?
Western Canada.
Fun.
Western Canada.
I hope you guys are starting to get some spring.
No.
So what can I do for you today? No. Yeah, well, I'm in Maine, so, you know, where if you don't like the weather, you know, wait a minute. So how can I help you today?
I have about five or so minutes,
so I can answer any questions, or is there anything that you'd like to talk about?
Yes, my question is that I've been going into astrology this month because it's really a powerful month for energies right now with all the different planets, and I'm vague a little bit about astrology, but I know a little more about it than I'm a novice at it. And my question is that for Aries, how is this going to work for energies this month for manifesting?
Do you happen to know what your rising sign is?
I think it's in my right sun rising sign. I think it's in Sagittarius.
Your ascendant is in a Sagittarius. Your AC.
I think so. Yeah, I have to go over my chart again.
So, when's your birthday?
March 24th.
March 24th. So you're at the tail end. So you're actually going to have a direct hit on. Here. Let me do your chart real quick.
Oh, thanks. I don't, not looking for it.
Yeah,
I just wanted for Aries in
No. It's fine. No, I'll look at your chart. So what's your birthday?
March 24th.
March 25th?
24th
or 25th?
24th. 24. 64.
1964. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what time?
11:54 p.m.
Okay.
Thanks for doing this. I just wanted a general thing for Aries.
Yeah. No, it'll take me like 2 seconds. And where were you born?
Yeah, thanks. Medicine Hat, Alberta. Medicine Hat.
Oh, that's cool.
Alberta, Canada.
In Canada here. I'll give you a better reading. This is what I do for a living, so. Is Medicine Hat all one word you said?
Two words.
Two words, okay. Here we are.
Thanks.
Yep, so you actually have a one degree Sagittarius rising. So let me just pull up your chart real quick.
That's what I thought.
Extend the charts. All right, so you're going to have a direct hit on your natal sun on the first eclipse of eclipse season, which is going to be April 20th. I'm lying. It's going to be the new moon prior to the eclipses. Now, the new moon that happens on the 21st at the equinox is not an eclipse. It's just a new moon, but it is happening at the arnetic degree of 0 degrees. So it's going to be within 3 degrees of your natal sun. This is going to happen in your fourth house. The fourth house has to do with home, the four walls around you, but also your mother, your lineage, where you came from, your childhood, that kind of thing. You do have an out-of-sign conjunction to your natal Mars in Pisces. So this is actually, this new moon is going to stimulate both. Are you thinking about moving?
No, I'm just looking for another job right now.
That's the access for you, is that it's going to be, right, but so when you look at your birth chart, the fourth house is in access to the 10th house of career. And so you have Aries partially in your fourth house and also Libra partially in your 10th house. And that's the areas that are going to be lit up. The eclipse that's going to be happening on April 20th will be in your fifth house. Do you have children?
No, I do not.
Are you single?
Yes.
So this will be an opportune time to meet someone. Their energy is quite, the energy is quite large for that on the first eclipse. Because it's the fifth house of fun, love, dating, but it's also a very creative placement. So, you know, this could be if you know, stepping out as a performer, musician, writing, you know, picking up art, whatever. This is what this area is. It's also gambling. It's also doing things to excess. You do have Jupiter here, so you could have a fun-loving side, if you know what I mean. But I think what this is going to look like, because you do have a stellium in Aries that will be affected over the next few years, is going to be how you, why you want the things you want and how you are attaining the things that you want. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what's interesting, too, is that Saturn right now is squaring your natal moon, and that can really wreak havoc on emotions. With Saturn just moved into Pisces at 0 degrees, and your natal moon is at 0 degrees Virgo, so that's in square right now. Saturn, you're having your second Saturn return right now. So you're looking at making some big changes. Have you had a spiritual awakening? Are you finally letting go of the fact that you can't control anything? Because that's what your chart's telling me.
Yes, I had one in January 23rd. I had a real wake-up call. So I'm just, and I'm just doing things. Did forgiveness. I got let go of my job in 23rd. Was planned, and the last person I forgave was the person was there. So they're just doing things that are just like, what's my time? Who do I share my time with? You were just saying that in your podcast, and who do you spend time with?
Yeah,
just what's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you also have some major stuff. So you also have Neptune on your IC. This looks like forgiveness of like your childhood. You know, looking at where you were nurtured when you were a child, where did you receive that? And if you did not receive that, you know, understanding, I have 2 minutes left, but you know, basically understanding how you learned how to give and receive love and that you were born perfect and there was nothing wrong with you. So this is a whole restructuring of ego into source for you. This is, you've got some beautiful energy coming in, and I'm really excited for you. I do have to let you go, but I hope that you call back in the future. If you ever want a reading, my website is thankgoddess.org. But it was wonderful to share time with you.
And we're grateful for your time, too. And,
Have a great day.
You're
too. Welcome. Well, so I only have a few minutes left. I do want to say that if you want to find more of me, you can find me at thankgoddess_ on Instagram, or at Moon Lodge Community on Instagram, or Star Medicine Podcast on Instagram. If you would like to enter the Moon Lodge on Patreon, where the Wise Wild Woman tier gets you free access to the private Facebook community membership, that's on patreon.com/Moon Lodge. For readings or to download my Beginner's Astrology Instant Download class, you can go to thankgoddess.org. It was wonderful to spend time with you. I hope you have a wonderful Venus day. And, you know, as the legend Daryl Martini used to say, it's a wise person who rules the stars, and it's a fool who's ruled by them. Over and out.